What wondrous love is this, O my soul, O my soul? What wondrous love is this, O my soul? What wondrous love is this that caused the Lord of bliss to bear the dreadful curse for my soul, for my soul? To bear the dreadful curse for my soul. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Today is what some people call Heart Day. Happy Valentine's Day! Candy and sweets and Valentine's Day cards and flowers and, well, I suppose if you're in high school, at least in Little Falls days, then there might even be a six-pack of Crush by somebody who had an orange crush or a grape crush on you. And some people might say, well, this is a weird juxtaposition. Valentine's Day, February 14th, Ash Wednesday, February 14th, who messed up the calendar? Well, I would maintain that Ash Wednesday is all about the heart. It's all about love. Not romantic love, not erotic love, but God-given, Christ-centered, Jesus agape love. Sacrificial love that goes to the cross. God's love. I would want to raise my kids and my grandkids to know that Valentine's Day is first and foremost all about the love of God and how we are ambassadors for Christ, and God uses us to extend and distribute that gift of love to others. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but might have eternal life. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And where your heart is, will your treasure be found as well. You know about St. Valentine? I mean, there's different traditions, but we know that there was a priest by the name of Valentine or Valentinus who was alive around the years 268 to 270 AD, when Claudius II was the emperor of Rome. And he wanted to store up his military. He wanted soldiers, and so therefore he put a ban on new marriages. And he canceled all engagements. But Valentine, as a priest, continued to officiate at and preside at Christian marriages centered in the love of Jesus Christ. And for that, he was put to death, martyred for the faith of Jesus in 270 AD. But there are other traditions, and there was another Valentine that was also on February 14th, but not 270 AD, martyred for the faith as well. And tradition says that he was ministering to Christians who were imprisoned for their faith. And that while ministering to those who were in jail or prison, that there was the jailer's daughter who was ill and near death, and by the grace of God, in the name of Jesus, he healed her. An expression of love. And some traditions even say that Valentine and this particular young gal fell in love. Saint Valentine, February 14th, the Heart Day, the day when we look seriously and honestly at the condition of our hearts. And you heard what the prophet Joel says. It's time to rend the heart. And when Joel says rend the heart, he's not talking about just doing a little massage or carefully tearing a slip of paper or using a scissors so that you can cut a seam. To rend is to rip. It's to tear apart. And for those who are familiar with the Gospel of St. Mark, you know that when Jesus was baptized, the heavens were ripped apart. And you know that when Jesus was crucified, the temple curtain was ripped apart from top to bottom. This is the gift of reconciliation that St. Paul is proclaiming to the Christians in Corinth in our second reading for tonight. God made him to be sin who knew no sin. Luther, 500 years ago, called that the happy exchange, a good trade. We get a good deal because Jesus takes all of our sins, rends it, rips it out of our hearts that are curved in upon the self, and he gives us a new and clean heart. That is why you will hear these familiar words. It's a confession, it's a creed, but it's also an offertory for us. During the season of Lent, the Lenten verse that we sing is, "Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and abounding in steadfast love." Rend your hearts. Joel will talk about a locust plague, a plague that is so bad that it's devastating everything in its path. And Joel will unashamedly say, this is the wrath of Almighty God. This natural disaster is God's wrath, God's discipline, God's punishment for sin. But those of us who have studied and read Revelation know that whether it's the seven seals or the seven trumpets or the seven bowls of wrath, whenever God disciplines or pours out his punishment, his judgment is always redemptive and restorative. It is purposeful. It is to bring God's people to repentance. God desires the salvation of all people. God desires that no one may perish. And so God will do whatever it takes, even the sending of his only Son, so that he can bring us to our knees in repentance. Real repentance, the real rending of the heart, not just some kind of a surface thing. That's what Jesus is getting at in Matthew, our gospel for tonight, when he says, "Beware of practicing your piety before others so that, well, you can show off." You can show it off. You can get some self-adulation. Jesus says, you will practice your faith publicly, but you'll do it privately and in secret. Whether it's fasting, whether it's praying, whether it's giving alms, it's not for the showing of the self, it's for the showing of your Savior Jesus. What is it that gives God glory? When God's people who are by nature sinful and unclean, repent. Repent and believe in the good news. Now, when I think about this gift of repentance, and when I hear the words of the prophet Joel, "Return to the Lord your God, rend the hearts," I think of two other stories. From the Old Testament, I think of the story of Jonah and how God called the prophet Jonah to go to the wicked people of Nineveh, sinful to the core, so that he could in fact call them to repentance, so that he could proclaim a word of judgment that would by God's grace and mercy bring those sinners to their knees. Jonah didn't want to go, remember? Jonah fought it. Jonah ran the other way, remember? But God caught him. Jonah, you can run, but you can't hide. God throws this storm on the sea, and then with the transportation vehicle of a big fish, talk about accommodations inside that mess, Jonah is spit on shore. And according to chapter 2, it appears that he has repented. But is it just a surface, temporary repentance? Or is it the rending of the heart, which goes down deep and takes place daily. Well, we know that when the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, he went and he preached the word of judgment to the people of Nineveh. And God's word of judgment did precisely what God's word intends to do. You know what happened in Nineveh, those wicked, sinful people. From the least to the greatest, from the pauper to the prince, the king himself, even all the animals, they put on dust and sackcloth and ashes. And they cried out to the Lord. Now, they also said, who knows? Who knows? Maybe God will repent, relent, and not bring his wrath down upon us. Well, who knows? A believer knows. A believer knows that there is forgiveness in the name of Jesus, that there is great mercy through the suffering and death of Christ on the cross. What happens? Everyone repents in Nineveh. God sees the repentance, and God changes his mind, relents, repents. And he does not destroy the wicked city of Nineveh. And you know what happens with Jonah. Your reputation precedes you, Lord. I knew it, I knew it, I knew it. And then he quotes what Joel has said and what the people of the Old Testament believed, what we confess and believe as well. God is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, and repents of evil. How does the story of Jonah end? He's pouting. He's waiting for God's wrath to come down upon those wicked sinners. He doesn't like the fact that they've repented. Can you imagine that? A believer not liking the fact that sinners have repented and rended their hearts? And he pouts. And at the very end of that book, there is a question. Do you do well to be angry, Jonah? He says, yes, angry enough to die. You pity a plant that grew up in a day and expired in a day, and you don't give a rip about 120,000 little ones that don't know their left hand from their right hand, and all those animals? You see, the question in the book of Jonah is the same kind of question that is posed to God's people through the prophet Joel. Rend your hearts! Well, what has it been for Jonah? A momentary repentance? A temporary conversion? You know what happened to Nineveh? In 612 BC, the city was completely destroyed by God because of the people's wickedness. God is a holy God, a righteous God. But evidently, when it comes to repentance, some people prefer to just kind of skim on the surface rather than going deep down. You know, just carefully tear a little bit of that white page rather than ripping it. Rend your hearts, Joel says, not your clothing. God doesn't want repentance to be surface. God wants it to be deep. And the second story I think about with the prophet Joel is from our psalm for tonight, Psalm 51, written by King David. This is his litany. This is his confession. This is his repentance, public repentance. In 2 Samuel chapters 11 and 12, King David, in the spring, when the kings go out to war, David is staying at home and just kind of strolling on the rooftop of his palace, and he sees a beautiful young girl down below. I'm guessing it was February 14th. I'm guessing he said to himself, it's Valentine's Day, and I want a little sugar. Well, he committed adultery. And then Bathsheba became pregnant. And then trying to cover it up to no avail, what did he do? He had Uriah the Hittite murdered. And then God sends the prophet Nathan. And Nathan comes to King David with a parable. King, this rich man who had lots and lots and lots of sheep. And then there was this poor little farmer who had just one little lamb. Well, the rich dude, he had company, and he decided to serve some lamb. But instead of taking one of the thousands upon thousands of sheep, he went over to the poor little farmer, he grabbed that little lamb, and he served it on a platter. David was fit to be tied. He was angry. He said, the man who has done this deserves to die. Yeah, because the wages of sin is death. Nathan looks at him and says, you're the man. And then he starts to preach about all that God had done for David. And David didn't do anything with it. He had everything that money could buy. And instead, he chose to go after the forbidden fruit. When Nathan is done with the parable, and when Nathan is done with his sermon, David falls on his knees and cries out for mercy. He confesses his sins, and he knows that he justly deserves death. But Nathan pronounces absolution. With repentance comes the gift of absolution. God has put away your sin. God has put away your sin. Nevertheless, the child that will be born will die, because an innocent one must pay for the sin of the guilty one. The happy exchange. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. God made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in Jesus we might become the righteousness of God. This is what David is bearing forth in Psalm 51, his confession. We have it as an offertory. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with your free spirit. We're going to end our service tonight singing it. You'll see it. It'll be a wraparound. In the same way that we started our service with Psalm 51, we're going to sing Create in Me as we go forth. Rend your hearts, not just your clothing. You see, that's why Ash Wednesday is a heart day, is a love day, an agape day, the love of God for sinners. Because God will, with his Son, Jesus Christ, be ripped and torn apart on a cross so that absolution can be given, so that someone can stand before your repentant heart and say, God has put away your sin. God has put away your sin. In the name of Jesus, it's gone. And God is giving you a new heart. That's God's grace. That's God's mercy for sinners. I don't know if you heard this story, but in January of 2018, it made the news. There was a man by the name of Brian Hawkins, and he made public confession of his sin. A burden that he had been carrying for 25 years. In 1993, Brian, who was about 19, 20 years old, along with two other people, a brother and a sister, they mercilessly attacked, stole from another young man, and murdered him. 1993. That's when Frankie McAllister was murdered. 25 years ago. For 25 years, Frankie's parents have been haunted by not knowing who did this and why they would do this to their son. And then in January, Brian went to a radio station and he said, I want to confess my sin. He said, it was me and two other people. We did it. For 25 years, Brian has been haunted. He said, it has been a living hell. Ever since that day that we took away Frankie's life, 25 years ago, I have had no life. Nothing but horror and horror and horror. And then God found me. And then God saved me. And when Jesus came into my life, He led me to repentance, to confession. And so He went to the radio station and He's weeping. He's remorseful. He's in contrition. He's saying, what has happened? The radio station couldn't air it because they didn't know if it was true or not. But once he went after the interview over to the police station, turned himself in, and they found out that it was true, this cold case, this unsolved murder for 25 years. He's seeking redemption. He knows that you cannot be saved, you cannot be a follower of Christ, and not rend the heart. 25 years of hell ever since he took the life of another young man. But he knew that he could no longer live like that. Once he was saved and became a follower of Jesus, he had to repent and come clean. He tried last summer to contact Frankie's family, said, I know what happened to your son. I want to come and talk to you about it. I need your forgiveness. And when he went there, Frankie's father had passed away last October. Rend your heart, not just your clothing. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. It's not just Joel. It's not just David. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, and he repents of evil. In this season of Lent, we're going to gather on Tuesdays, and we're going to look at the parables of Jesus. And some people want to categorize them as kingdom parables or grace parables or judgment parables. So I'll whet your appetite tonight because it's Valentine's Day and it's Ash Wednesday. Luke 15. There was a rebellious boy that said, Dad, drop dead. Give me my inheritance now. And the dad gave him his inheritance. And the prodigal went into a far country. And eventually, when he lost it all, he came to himself. He came crawling home, hoping for a job and a place in the bunkhouse. The dad was faithful. He never stopped looking way out there to see if his son was going to come home. He prayed every day. He looked every day. And when he saw him way in the distance, what did the dad do? He pulled his robe up, he exposed his legs, and he went running out there. He ran through the gauntlet of shame so that his son wouldn't have to do it. He bore his son's shame. And when the boy wanted to give him this kind of rehearsed confession, the father stopped him and just gave him a hug and a kiss. Get the best robe that money can buy. Get my signet ring. Get some sandals for the boy. My son's home. Kill the fatted calf. We're going to have a party. Sounds like Fat Tuesday. And there's a party. And you know what happens? The father has two sons. The firstborn, he's out working. He hears the noise. He refuses to go in. And you know what the father has to do? It's unimaginable. The father has to leave the party. Talk about shame. He has to go out and intercede with the older son and beg him to come in to the party. He bears the shame of both of his boys publicly. The lost has been found. The dead is alive. Return to the Lord your God. So you tell me, the prodigal that came home, was it sincere repentance? What about the next day? And what about the firstborn? Was he able to rend his heart and come in and celebrate? The angels rejoice over one sinner who repents. Do we? That's the way God's kingdom works. Law and gospel, grace and judgment, all wrapped up into the same story. And we prodigals, we get to answer. We get to answer the story's ending as well. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and abounding in steadfast love. Happy Valentine's Day. Beloved of God, happy Valentine's Day. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.